We're going to begin our reading today with verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. Let us notice carefully the Word of God, and may He speak to our hearts this day. Verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all." Amen. We're going to conclude our reading there with verse 28. And we trust that the Lord will help us today, that the Lord will quiet our hearts, that the Lord will speak to each of us right where we need to be spoken to, that He would give us a seasonable word so that we may profit from it, for Jesus' sake. We are looking at two verses, and I have been meditating this week on another verse in the chapter, and as I was meditating on this yesterday, I realized that there was another message we did not want to skip. I've been working on verse 29 all week, but we're going to consider today verses 27 and 28 because we really didn't cover these verses to any length before. So verse 27 and 28, "For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all." If I could affix a title or a theme to these two verses of the sacred text, it would be the final finale. That may seem a little redundant, but I trust that it won't momentarily seem to be so. For here, even more so than in the last book of the Bible, we have the end. We have here the wrapping up, the conclusion of all the history of this world. The final finale. Did you ever notice that man's finals are never really final? Think about it. Man's finals on earth are not really final. In sports, there are playoffs where athletic teams defeat and eliminate one another until the final championship game is reached. At last, in the final game, one team is declared the winner or the champion. But it's only temporary. It's fading, it's passing. One season follows another, and the winners or champions of last year and of all the past are gradually forgotten. Their popularity is gone. The sensations are over, and they have become merely a statistic from the past. Each new season brings a new final, which is never final nor absolutely conclusive. So it is with every human form of entertainment. Stage plays, operas, and concerts have their final scenes, their last movements, and their finales. But they are never final. And you know, we live in a generation of celluloid and disc madness. Our people are as enslaved to movie watching as the drug addict is to his next fix. There is an insatiable desire to experience the newest movie and something of a vicarious experience, and to experience the fullness of every form of technology. And yet, like the drunkard, tomorrow they will do it all over again, because none of the finales are final. In education, there is, of course, the final exam. But there's not an end of such final exams here. There are high school final exams. They're followed by college final exams. And college final exams are followed by graduate school final exams. And even after formal classroom training, there continues to be corporate examination, assessments, and evaluations that people go through all during their life of employment. And it seems that we are always living under the eye of some superior scrutiny and examination. As human beings, our finals are never really final. But with God, the finale is really final. We read it here in verses 27 and 28. In these two verses, there are two divine sovereignties declared. And I want to just point out these two things, and we'll be done. First of all, temporary mediatorial sovereignty. Temporary mediatorial sovereignty. That is the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator. Secondly, the absolutely final sovereignty when He delivers up the kingdom to the Father, that God may be all in all. Now, I want us to think first of this temporary mediatorial sovereignty. It's not easy to describe the things of God using merely human language. Did you notice these three words? Temporary mediatorial sovereignty. Temporary is the word referring to time. But when we consider Christ our mediator, His person and His work, we can't begin with time. Because God doesn't begin, even in time, in declaring the mediator and His sovereignty. If you go back in the Scriptures, you find that Christ, the mediator, is the Lamb that was foreordained before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1, verses 19 and 20. As the Lamb, He was foreordained as a sacrifice, and as our sacrifice in His role as our mediator. As a member of the triune Godhead, Christ was willing and chosen by the Father to be our mediator back in that vast corridor of eternity. And dare we put the label of time on eternity? Because of the feeble nature of our own understanding, we would dare to speak of eternity past. But with God, there is no eternity past. The Holy Ghost later uses the terminology of time referring to our mediator as slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8. So this mediator is brought into time at the very beginning of the creation. He was even at that time viewed as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Again, the Spirit speaks of time in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26. But notice there are three references here in Hebrews 9, 6 to time. Now, once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. In the completion of the ages, in the end of the world, what does He mean? In the completion of the ages, Christ comes forth to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. I think there's some encouragement here. Once in the end of the world, do you remember, even taking the biblical history that we have, 4,000 years had already passed when Jesus came. And since that time, 2,000 more years have passed. And God called that the end of the world. So can we not look forth with great confidence into the future, knowing that there is not going to be another 2,000 years of life here merely in the wickedness of this world as we now know it? There is actually going to be a winding up. Hallelujah! Our mediator is going to wrap it all up. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He did not appear as an apparition. He did not come as some fuzzy presence, but He came really assuming human nature. He had real flesh and bones. He could be touched and handled, as you heard last Sunday night, 1 John 1:1. Having finished His suffering work, His enduring life on earth among sinners, earning for us the full merit of a perfectly lived life right here, having poured out His soul in the bloody death of the cross, He arose from the dead. And after showing Himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days, then He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, Mark 16:19. God the Father had highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. He gave to Him all power in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. Having such universal power, we read in this portion of 1 Corinthians 15 that He must reign. Verse 25. He must continue that reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. Verse 25. He must reign till, there's another word of time, till He hath put all His enemies under His feet. He has all power to wield at this present moment. Even now, He is subduing the hearts of His enemies. His enemies, sinners, subduing hearts, bringing into willing submission the many unto Himself. Those that do not submit to Him, they are being brought under His feet as well. They are being hardened through the deceitfulness of their own sin. Yet their knee will bow and their tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This sovereignty, this reign of our mediator is temporary. For Christ, one day, having subdued all His enemies, will deliver up the kingdom to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25, for He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. Verse 27, for He hath put all things under His feet. That is, God the Father has put all things under the authority of Christ, under His feet. We learn from the temporary mediator sovereignty, we turn from that to the absolute final authority, the final sovereignty. It was the Eternal Father who gave the Mediator that temporary sovereignty in verse 27. The authority over all things, putting them under His feet, was the Father's gift. But as verse 27 states, the Father was the exception. He was not put under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And it's very clear that not only the Father, but also the Holy Spirit, as God, they could not be subject to man, even to the God-man. They are God, and they could not be in subjection or in submission as eternal deity simply to the Mediator. The Father and the Spirit work with Him. They do not work against Him. They do not work under Him, but they work with Him in subduing sinners this very day. But there's coming a day when Christ shall have put down all opposition to His holy reign. All rule and all authority and all power shall be put down by Him. That is what He is presently doing. He hasn't finished yet. Verse 28 says, and when all things shall be subdued unto Him, when that day comes, when they are subdued to the Mediator, then cometh the end. Verse 24. Then cometh the end, when Christ delivers up the kingdom to God, even to the Father. Now I remind you that Christ, the head and husband of His bride, the church, shall remain her head, her husband, her king, her sovereign, her lover, her keeper, to all eternity. There will never be a dissolution of that relationship. Jesus Christ will remain God and man in two distinct natures and in one person forever. But having accomplished all that He undertook, the human nature of Christ will be subject to the Father. No longer will the Mediator plead or intercede for His people. Now imagine that. I want you to think with me. Christ is now making intercession. But there's coming an end to that. When is that end going to be? When He has all of His people there in glory perfected, He will cease that intercession. The virtue and value of the blood, the body, and the person of the Mediator will remain as the joy and the comfort of all of God's children and as the divine satisfaction of the Father's justice. Now the kingdom is no longer administered by the Mediator at that time, but God triune is all in all. The one eternally living Holy Trinity will have all the glory. The saints will enjoy immediate access to all the persons of the Godhead. No longer will we fellowship with God mediately. We fellowship with God mediately now through the person of the Mediator, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the God-man. No longer will we fellowship with God then immediately through the Mediator. We will have direct and immediate fellowship, enjoying and glorifying God in His three persons forever. Our fellowship with God will be perfect and uninterrupted. Spirit, soul, and body shall revel in the perfections of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All that the Father did in His decree, all that He did in this holy covenant of peace, all that the Son accomplished in working out our redemption, and all that the Spirit has done in applying that redemption will redound to the eternal praise and glory of God. God will be all in all. Not just one person of the Godhead, but Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Together, God will be all in all. The old Jewish rabbis had a saying. They described God by a Hebrew word, The Hebrew word is kal. It's actually two letters before they added the vowel pointings. This what would be equivalent to our C and L. And the triune Jehovah, they're saying by that word kal, Jehovah is all fullness. All fullness is Jehovah. All in all is our God. Now, surely many of you can at least faintly understand what God is communicating to us here in His Word. I want you to think with me. He is speaking of a most intimate sort of finality. Can you remember, my friends, what it is to love someone? Let me ask you that question again, in case you didn't hear me. Can you remember what it is to love someone? What an utter joy it is just to be near that person. What happy hours you have spent sitting there, maybe looking out on a landscape, just sitting there talking, simply being together. Do you know anything of that overwhelming awe that I'm talking about? Well, all our joys on earth are dimmed by our loved ones being taken from us one by one. Happiness here is sweet, but the happiness here is not a final happiness. I urge you then, my friends, to turn your heart away from earth's sin, from its vain display. Turn and look on Calvary, where a cross was raised for you. Turn by faith to yonder throne, where sits the exalted reigning mediator. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Because let me tell you, in the light even of your sweetest, most awesome experience on earth that seems to be so ultimate, it is not ultimate. Because the only real ultimacy is that above. Turn your eyes away by faith to gaze on that scene of the real final finale. There is the vast, numberless multitude of the saints of all the ages gathered around God triune, praising Him for so great salvation. I ask you, will your face appear in the midst of that vast throng? Will you cast your crown at His feet with the rest, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. The Scripture is very clear. Verse 27, For He hath put all things under His feet. Christ has all things under His authority right now. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. What an awesome reality. Then cometh the end. And the question is, when the end cometh, where will you be? Are you found in Christ today? Or are you still only existing in that nature that you got from your first father and head, Adam? If you're not in Christ, with the end cometh, your face will not appear in that vast multitude gathered around God triune, where God is all in all. May the Lord bless His Word. Let us pray. O Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast revealed to us that there is a very real termination to all that we see and experience now, that it's not going to continue as life is presently in this fallen world. But Lord, we praise Thee that Thou hast prepared a better place, a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We praise Thee, Lord Jesus, that Thou hast gone there to that place to prepare it for all of Thy blood-bought people. Lord, we pray that Thou will bless Thy truth to every heart here today. We pray that Thou would help us to seek, to search, and to understand what our state is before Thee. Do we really know Thee and love Thee? Do we want to serve Thee? Do we look forward to a real final finale in eternity forever? Oh Lord, teach us. Oh Spirit of God, seal Thy word to our hearts, that those dark birds will not come and pick away the holy seed. Please bless us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.